Turn your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 1. While you're turning there, I wanted to mention to you that Brother Ron Beatty has got some very serious kidney surgery that will be coming up sometime this month. Not sure if it's this coming week or the next, but it is scheduled for this month, and so we want to keep Brother Ron Beatty in our prayers as he has this surgery. Galatians chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. We see a demonstration of that goodness tonight. The rain that was forecasted to come last night and would have had such an impact on the junior-senior didn't come. It came tonight. We thank you for your loving kindness that you show to us in so many ways every day. We pray that you would help us to be a grateful and a thankful people. We pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word tonight and teach us from it the things that we need to know. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing with our studies in the book of Galatians tonight. We've spent our first 8 messages in the first verse, looking at the pattern for the local New Testament church here in the world. The pattern for the local church is that each one is to be independent and fundamental and non-sectarian. We've talked about the pattern for church leadership and the pattern of the gifts of preacher and pastor and teacher and how those gifts are to be exercised. They're to be exercised by preaching the word. Those were Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But over and above Timothy, those are God's words to us today. They're God's words to the preachers and pastors and teachers in this hour. Preach the word. Declare all the counsel of God. Preach all scripture that is given by inspiration of God. Don't pervert the gospel of Christ. Preach the gospel, the message of this book. And what we want to consider tonight is what that means for the pattern for which Bible that we're to preach from. I'd like for you to turn back to Psalm 12, if you would. Psalm 12. The pattern for which Bible that we're to preach from. It's very, very important. Pattern. It's a very important consideration. Psalm 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. That, as we have talked before, is inspiration. But then verse 7 says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That is preservation. Inspiration and preservation. It makes no sense for God to have inspired His Word if He did not preserve that word. And we see in this seventh verse that this is preservation for time. We see that in the words, from this generation. It's also preservation for eternity. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Lord Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And so God's word is preserved for eternity. What we want to think about is how it is preserved for time. For time. How it's preserved for this day that we're living in. And the Lord has preserved His word. He did. The two tables of stone were in the ark 490 years after they were given. They were there when Solomon brought the ark into the temple he built. Those two tables of stone. But the Lord did not just write His words in stone. He wrote His words in stone for a reason. Exodus 31 and verse 18 tells us that the Lord gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the mount, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. He wrote them with his finger. That is inspiration. And he wrote them in stone. He wrote them in stone. And I think that demonstrates two very important things. The first one is preservation. The second one, and it's very important, he wrote his word in stone to demonstrate in a very practical way that his word is not to be added to or taken away from. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, God commands, "Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you." Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, God says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Proverbs 30 and verse 6 says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Revelation chapter 22, the last book, not only of that book, the book of Revelation, but the last book in the last chapter in the Bible, verses 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." That word book in that verse is the Greek word biblion. There's not a lot of Greek words that I understand, but I understand that one. It's where we get our word Bible. And so John's warning applies to the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. But coming at the close of this book, coming at the close of the entire revelation from heaven, coming at the close of the biblion, the Bible, then I think it applies to all of the Word of God. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Does that mean someone can lose their salvation? I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think it's telling us very plainly that anybody that would take away from the Word of God, they're not saved to begin with. And so the first time that God wrote his word on earth. He wrote it in stone to demonstrate that man is not to add to or take away from the words of this book. And notice that it is the words, John says in Revelation 22:18, the words of the prophecy of this book. Words. That's so important. Each word is inspired by God. That's what verse 6 here says. The words, each one of them, the words of the Lord are pure words. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. And then Matthew 4 and verse 4, and Luke 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is verbal inspiration. Each and every word inspired by God. And so the first time that God wrote his word on earth, he demonstrated for all time what we might call these three principles. He wrote his word with his finger. That's inspiration. He wrote it in stone. That's preservation. And he wrote it in stone to make it plain that man is not to add to or diminish from his word. But then, the Lord preserved his inspired words in a book. In a book. God is a practical God. And it is not practical to carry around two tables of stone. And so, God preserved his inspired words in a book. I'd never really noticed that before, thought about it before. In Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, the Lord told Moses that one day Israel was going to want a king. And when that day came, this king, as he was sitting on his throne, he was to write him a copy of this law in a book. And how was the king going to do that? How was he going to write a copy of this law in a book? Well, that verse tells us. He was to copy this law out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. So they had a book. And so that was the book that the king was to copy. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58, Moses told the people of Israel, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 10, we read about the statutes of God which are written in this book of the law. Now I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to mention a lot of verses tonight, and I hope that you'll write them down or make a note of them. You can go back and read them, but there's several that we do want to read. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing, listen, the words of this law in a book, until they were finished. I would just stop right there and say that writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, I believe that not only applies to this book of Deuteronomy, I believe these words make it very plain that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Genesis through Deuteronomy. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now this is very interesting, because the Lord told Moses to hew out tables of stone. Moses dropped the first tables. He broke them when he came back into the camp of Israel. And he saw that the people had made the golden calves, and they were dancing and worshiping and singing. Moses didn't think much of their singing. I guess that was probably the first contemporary Christian music rock concert in all of history. But Moses dropped the tablets when he came, and so the Lord told him to hew out two other tables of stone to come up into the mountain. And he said, I will write upon those like I did the first. And Moses put them into the ark of the covenant, and he said they'd be there unto this day. And we mentioned a minute ago, but 490 years later, when Solomon brings the ark into the temple that he's built, there's the tables of stone. But and this is where it gets interesting to think about. Moses says, there's something else I want you to put in the ark, or in the side of the ark. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. And it was. It was. Remember King Josiah? Remember him? Turn over to 2 Kings, if you will. I said we aren't going to turn to a lot of places, but I want you to see this. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he came to the throne. And in the 18th year of his reign, he sent the men, he said, to take the money that's been given, and you need to go into the house of the Lord, and you need to repair the breaches of the house. And that's what they did. And you remember that Hilkiah the high priest told Shaphan the scribe, he said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. We see that in verse 8 of chapter 22. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And they took the book of the law and they read it to King Josiah. And 2 Kings 22 in verse 11 says, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. The king heard the words of the book of the law. Josiah heard the verbally inspired, infallible, preserved word of God. Not another version. Not one that used non-verbal equivalents. Not one that didn't believe that every word of God is pure. Not one that added to and changed and took away from the words of God, like the New International Version and the New American Standard Version and the New King James Version and on and on. No, Josiah heard the verbally inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. And when he heard it, notice what he did. He rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. And that's not all he did. He commanded that Hilkiah and Shaphan go and inquire of the Lord for him and the people of Judah. Verse 13, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. The words, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Remember what the Lord said in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. Don't you add to the words, don't you diminish from the words, that ye may observe to do all that is written therein. And so, Josiah sends them in, and he then calls the priests. Look at chapter 23 and verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Israel. And the king went into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words. There it is again. Every word of God. He read them the inspired and preserved word of God from this book. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Now here's the question. Was it this book of the law that was put aside, put in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord we were reading about back in Deuteronomy chapter 31? I believe it was. I believe it was because of where it was found. It was found in the house of the Lord. God had preserved His Word in this book. He had preserved His Word, His inspired Word. It had not returned unto Him void. It had prospered in the thing whereto He sent it. And that was to be a witness against His people. Remember, that's what Moses said. That was the purpose. It prospered. That was the thing whereto He sent it. To be a witness against His people. And it was. And when all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord, were read to the leaders and the people of Israel, a revival broke out. Imagine that. You know why there isn't revival in America? You know why people are not rending their hearts and turning to the Lord? We might make a list of several things, but I'll tell you one that ought to be at the top. Because people are not hearing all the words of this book. They're not hearing the verbally inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. They're hearing another version. One whose authors did not believe that every word of God is pure. They're hearing words from a version whose authors have added to and changed and took away from the words of God. They're reading out of these versions like the New International Version and the New American Standard Version and the New King James Version and the English Standard Version. We're talking about the Lord preserving His inspired words in a book. In a book. He did that here in the Old Testament. We find it over and over. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Moses has died, and the Lord, the Lord told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Why? Why? That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you. When words are added to this book of the law, when words are taken away from this book of the law, when words are changed in this book of the law, then Joshua could not, and you and I cannot, observe to do according to all that is written therein, if we don't have all that is written therein. And this is the serpent's plan. It's the serpent's design since he uttered his first words on earth. Yea, hath God said. And so the Lord told Joshua, and he tells his people today, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6, Joshua told the people of Israel, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And then in Joshua 24 and verse 26, we read, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. Just as Moses' words in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 24 make it plain that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Joshua's words in this verse make it plain that he's the writer of this book that bears his name. The Lord preserved his inspired, infallible words in a book. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And the books, plural, that Daniel is talking about are the books of 2 Chronicles. I'll turn back to it. You don't have to. But in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21, we read there. Well, let's read verse 20. And them that had escaped, we're talking about Judah being carried into Babylon. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So this is one of the books, no doubt, that Daniel reads. And it tells him to go, you need to go to the book of Jeremiah. This is how we compare Scripture with Scripture. And so he turns to Jeremiah chapter 21, chapter 25. You don't have to. I'll turn to it and read it. But Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11 says, And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. 70 years. So that's how Daniel understood by books. By books. The inspired, infallible Word of God that was preserved in books. 2 Chronicles, the book of Jeremiah. But not only did Daniel read the books in which the Lord had preserved His inspired, infallible words, Daniel, like Moses and Joshua, wrote the book that bears his name. And if you look over at chapter 12 of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, and look at verse 4, the Lord told Daniel, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words." There it is again, the words. Every word of God is pure. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." Seal the book. This book that Daniel wrote. The Lord preserved His inspired, infallible words that He gave to these men in a book. He preserved His inspired, infallible words, and here's the book. They had the book. And there's something that's very important for us to see. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36, the last scripture that we're going to look at. Jeremiah chapter 36. And look at verse 1. "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." Now here's a very clear example of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so, God, He wants us to see something critical. Notice the wording in verse 1. "This word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee." Verse 4. "And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." God wrote His inspired, infallible words the first time on earth on tablets of stone with His finger. But here, as we've been reading these verses, He's written His inspired, infallible words in a book, and He preserved that book. And what is demonstrated for us here is that inspiration was not lost in preservation. Inspiration was not lost when Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah, because he wrote all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. when God preserved His words in a book, the inspiration of every word was not lost. Now here's the question. Which Bible is there today? Which Bible is there today that's been faithful to translating the Word of God based on the principles that God Himself established? The principle of Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22:18-19. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Which Bible is there today that has been faithful to translating the Word of God on these principles that God Himself established? Only one. Only one. The King James Bible. Folks, this book that we hold in our hands, the King James Bible, is the inspired, infallible, preserved words of God. It's the book. It's the book that we've been reading about. The words that Daniel read from 2 Chronicles. The last chapter there, 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21. They're the words that we read. The words that he read in Jeremiah 25 and verse 11. They're the words that we read. The words that Moses put into the book and finished. They're the words that we are reading. This is the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. And this is the pattern. This is the pattern that the local church is to follow. It's to be the pattern for our preaching. I wanted to preach on that tonight. The pattern for preaching. But the Lord seemed to direct in this way, because before we get into the pattern of preaching, we got to understand what we are to preach from. And that's this book. And I would just say that I hope this church never, never departs from this pattern. The pattern of the King James Bible. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for these verses from your word. The principle is so clear. The message is so clear. We hold in our hands the inspired and infallible and inerrant preserved Word of God in a book, just like your people did there in the days of the Old Testament. You're the same yesterday and today and forever, and you preserved those words for your people in a book, and you've preserved your Word for your people today in a book. This Word of God, the King James Bible. And we thank you for that tonight. And we pray that we would not turn from to the right hand or to the left. We pray that we would never let any man spoil us through philosophy or vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. That we would not ever be drawn away by the enticing words of man's wisdom, but that we would ever cling to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. The simplicity that we have your word in our hands. We pray that you might impress these things upon our heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.